D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. The Chicago Bears must have been listening to our previous segment because, according to Ian Rappaport, the Bears and second-round defensive tackle Shamar Turner have agreed to terms on his four-year rookie contract as the logjam slowly begins to open up. Shamar Turner was the 30th selection of the second round. Femi Oladejo was the 20th. No word on what the percentage of guaranteed money is on Shamar Turner's contract, at least not yet. I will be curious to see
that
figure.
But I think it's clear that by the end of the day and tomorrow, I think you're going to start seeing more second-round picks get signed.
So we'll keep that in mind. But there you go. The logjam appears to be opening quite a bit. So, speaking of contracts.
And second-round picks.
And there you go. Look at that. Look at that segue there. Speaking of second-round picks who need contracts, Luke Evangelista. Now, I've seen some Predators fans worried that pretty boy Vincenzo does not have a new contract with the Nashville Predators. You need not worry, Predators fans. Luke Evangelista is a restricted free agent. He does not have arbitration rights. He really has zero leverage. He will be signed at some point. So do not worry. Your favorite 20-something Predators winger will be on the team next season. But it has led to some conversations among Predators fans about what sort of contract we should expect Luke Evangelista to sign with the Predators. Luke Evangelista is coming off of a disappointing season. He had 10 goals and 32 points in 68 games. The season before, he had 16 goals and 39 points in 80 games. AFP Analytics, which is a service I use quite a bit around this time, their projection for Luke Evangelista's contract, Willie, is a two-year deal with a cap hit of around $2.5 million. So a two-year contract, total value, roughly $5 million.
And what's this site again called?
AFP Analytics.
Okay.
Now, AFP Analytics, they do a great job. For example, AFP Analytics projected that Nick Perbix would sign a two-year contract with a $2.6 million cap hit. He got a two-year contract with a $2.75 million cap hit. So they were well within range. They do a really good job. So AFP Analytics projects a two-year contract with a cap hit of roughly $2.5 million. But Willie, we have been sort of going over some recent players who fit Evangelista's profile, who the Predators could use or Evangelista's representation could use as a comparison for a potential deal. And there is a wide range of choices.
There are a wide range of choices, but I think this comes down to the leverage that Evangelista has, which is not very much. He can't be signed to an offer sheet, right? He's not eligible for that.
I think he is.
He is?
Yes.
Okay. I thought you had to be. Do you have to be arbitration eligible to get an offer sheet or no? Is it any restricted free agent? Let's say he is. Okay. Let's say, for example, that he. Let's just say, for argument's sake,
I am fairly confident that he is eligible for
an offer
sheet.
I don't think that's going to come down the pike.
I don't either.
He had 32 points this past year. Most people, I think, would say, in a nutshell, it wasn't a good year for him. However, he had 13 points in his last 14 games, so the numbers ended up looking not that far off than the year before. And for contract negotiation purposes, I think that's relevant, don't you think? Because one of the guys we're going to talk about is a guy that just signed with the Sabres named Jack Quinn. And if you look at Jack Quinn's production and Luke Evangelista's production, it's pretty similar, right? And I think you'd say, well, Jack Quinn, man, he's a high first-round pick. He's got a lot of potential. He's going to be really good. And you might also say, well, hey, Evangelista didn't play well during the season when they needed him to, and he padded the stats late. Well, couldn't you say that anybody playing for the Sabres the last couple years has played a lot of games that were fairly insignificant? They were out of the race for most of the time. So I don't know how Quinn did in the arch of the ebbs and flows of the season. So I think when you're negotiating a contract, I do think these numbers the fact that he ended up, Evangelista did, with 32 points. He only had 7 less points than the year before, where people were really excited about his year. And he played 12 less games. He played only 68 games last year because he had a very significant injury, a high ankle sprain, that shelved him for weeks, but also he played through down, you know, for large parts of it when he came back. He wasn't 100%. So I think his camp is that he also had not a lot of puck luck, right? His shooting percentage was only 7.5%, which is low. And that was really the theme of the entire year for the Predators. Nobody shot well. Nobody had a lot of puck luck. And it was he was a victim of everybody not shooting well. So I think there are things that you can look at and say, if you're from Evangelista's camp, look, he's still a guy that deserves a pretty big raise here. And the Predators, I think, are going to give him a raise. But this coming year for him is absolutely critical. Regardless of what he signs for, this is the year that he defines where he fits in the big picture here. Is he going to be in sort of the Phil Tomasino, Juuso Parsonen direction of thought he was going to be something good, but not quite good enough to really move the needle, so he becomes replaceable. And let's now turn our attention to the next crop of prospects. Or can he take the opportunity to make a jump to where he could be a bargain as a fringe top six, definite top nine source of secondary scoring? You used a really good comp for him from Predators history in Craig Smith. Tell me where you were going with that, because he's a different type of player, but I think it's a good comp, second round pick.
Whenever I discuss Luke Evangelista and I think, what is his ceiling as an NHL player? Perhaps I'm not as high on Evangelista as some of you. I think he can be an effective player. But the one player in Predators history I tend to land on is Craig Smith. Now, say what you will about Craig Smith, Evangelista and Smith approached the game differently. But there was a period of time when Craig Smith, you knew you were getting at least 20 goals a season out of Craig Smith. And I think that if Evangelista became a player who you could count on to score at least 20 goals every season, I think he can be a valuable member of your team.
And even if it was more like 15, 16 goals and maybe more assists,
right?
Because Evangelista is more of a playmaker than a shooter. I think Craig Smith was more of a straight-line shooter, not as much of a passer. But at the end of the day, we're talking about that second wave of, say, 45 to 55 points. Fair? In that neighborhood?
I'm looking at Craig Smith's game log between the 2013-14 season and the 2019-20 season, which was his final season with the Predators. He averaged 21.7 goals per 82 games.
Right. How many points?
42.4.
Right. So he wasn't really an assist guy. Evangelista had he's a guy that I think will have more assists than Smith and a few less goals.
But my point is that if Evangelista could become a 20-goal 35 to 40 point guy on a consistent basis,
it's worth having.
There is value in that.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be the big boy forward that all Predators fans want.
He's not that guy.
I don't see that for Luke Evangelista, but there is value in having a Craig Smith type who won't wow you very often, but will end up at the end of the season, you'll look at his game log and go, wait a minute, he scored 20 goals? There is value in that.
Okay, so now let's get to the challenge. He's unsigned. He's a restricted free agent. He's coming off his entry-level deal, so he was making basically the league minimum, right? Less than $1 million.
Yes.
So if you doubled his salary, then we're talking about maybe 1.5, 1.6. And I think Barry Trotz might say, hey, man, I'm doubling your salary. You didn't have a great year last year. And we're not sure you've got to earn being a part of the future. So just a one-year $1.6 million, I could argue, is not the worst thing. But I think if you look at some comps, right, he probably is going to argue he should get more, quite a bit more.
And we will do that coming up next. We will share some of those comps with you at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Also, coming up in the next hour. I'm excited about this, Willie. Our old friend Elijah Campbell. You all may remember Elijah Campbell. He used to work here at 102.5. He was your producer at one point. No?
Oh, yes.
Elijah Campbell. Yes. He now co-hosts the early game on 107.5 The Game in Columbia, South Carolina. He is live at SEC Media Days, and he's going to hop on with us at 11:20 to talk SEC Media Days and probably South Carolina football because that's the team he covers. And I look forward to catching up with Elijah. But we will continue the conversation on Luke Evangelista coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. D. Mace Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whenever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan here with you. Scott from Shelbyville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, my heart is so full. Talking hockey, even though you were all going to put it on the shelf for the summer, my day is made. Well, we have a unique opportunity this week. Willie and I are on earlier. Derek's been out. He will be back today with Jake Lyman from 3 to 6, filling in for Jared. So you have two hockey lovers, two hockey nerds here. Good opportunity to sneak in some hockey talk before Titans training camp starts next week.
Right, because we know that this is really one of the last pieces of business, barring a big trade, and that I think that's the other storyline to watch, is with the trade of Colton Sissons, there's a hole in the center position at a position that already was thin. Now it's even thinner. So we feel like there's a move coming there. And then the other guy that they've got to sign is Luke Evangelista. Once we get into August and you get those things done, the Predators talk is going to be at a minimum until mid-September when they open camp, right? So they're going to fade off, but this is like the unfinished business of the summer that is significant.
Yes. So Luke Evangelista, a restricted free agent, still needs a new contract. Do not worry, Predators fans, especially female Predators fans who love Luke Evangelista, pretty boy Vincenzo.
We got to call it like it is.
With his big hair and his Gucci belt. He will sign a contract. He will be a member of the Nashville Predators next season, barring something completely unforeseen. But it is interesting to attempt to figure out what that contract is going to look like. So again, AFP Analytics, a site that I rely on heavily at this time of year, projects that Luke Evangelista will sign a two-year contract with a cap hit of roughly $2.5 million per season. So total value around $5 million. On paper, I would say that is fair value for Luke Evangelista.
2.5?
2.5, based on what we've seen so far in his career.
And I think the negotiation will start lower, because it wasn't a great second year. And he only had 32 points. And as we said, those numbers are buoyed by a good surge of games late in the year, which is not insignificant. But at the same time, it was kind of after the horse was out of the barn. You would have loved to have seen better production in the meat of the season when they were still fighting to get some traction going. That being said, the numbers are the numbers, and you introduced a comp to me that I had not thought of that is going to probably give you a little more fuel for the Evangelista camp trying to get something higher than the 2.5. Because I think something around 1.8, 1.9 for 2 years is sensible. And that's about a 250% raise if you got to like 1.9.
So here's what I did. I looked at players who have a lot of the same characteristics as Luke Evangelista. Early 20s, play on the wing, restricted free agent. I looked at deals that have been signed over the past 6 weeks, since June 1st. I don't know why I specifically picked that date, but it gave me more choices. And a player, as I was scrolling down the list, a player who popped out to me is Jack Quinn. Jack Quinn plays for the Buffalo Sabres. He was the 8th overall pick in the 2020 NHL draft. He's played parts of 4 seasons, one of which was shortened by injury. But his three full NHL seasons, he had 14 goals and 37 points in 75 games in 2022-23. In his injury-shortened season, he had 9 goals and 19 points in 27 games. So still an impressive production rate in a short amount of time. And last season had a career-high 39 points, 15 goals, 24 assists in 74 games. Jack Quinn, last month, signed a 2-year contract with a $3.375 million cap hit. Now, when you look at the production of Quinn in his career versus Evangelista in his career, pretty similar. Quinn has played 178 NHL games. Evangelista has played 172. Quinn has scored 39 goals. Evangelista has scored 33. Quinn has 97 points. Evangelista has 86. So that's just the bare minimum, looking at some comparisons. You can dig even deeper. But just on the surface, similar production over the course of their young careers. So if I'm the Predators, or excuse me, if I am Luke Evangelista's agent, I am looking at a player like Jack Quinn and saying, similar production, he's making nearly $4 million per year on his next contract. So why shouldn't Luke be making nearly $4 million
this season?
He's making
nearly $4
million? 2 years with a cap hit of 3.375.
All right, so 3.37.
Okay, sorry. I saw this. Maybe a little dyslexic there. Swap the 7 and the 3.
Right.
So 3.375.
3.3. Excuse me. I think when we get into that, I think we're going to be, that's going to be a key. Because I do think that's going to be a comp, 3.3. To me, that would be the high end, right? I don't think Evangelista is getting any more than Quinn. Fair?
Fair.
In fact, his production is a little bit less. And so $3 million to me is close to the ceiling. And some people, I think, and I think myself included, would say that's a little rich for what Evangelista has done. $3 million a year. But remember,
the cap is going up.
The cap is going up. $3 million now is not what $3 million was 2 or 3 years ago, let alone 5 or 6 years ago. So what do you do? Can this be this might linger for a while, what they do. And even the going rate of a 2-year deal wouldn't be a slam dunk, would it? Some years, Evangelista could say, give me 1 year and bet on myself. Or the Predators might say, look, Luke, this is a big year for you. We got a lot of people coming up the pipeline. We have a lot of players going into the last year of their contracts. And so we're going to offer you a 1-year deal. I can see either side playing it that way. So I don't know if it's a slam dunk, but I do think the going rate for players of his ilk, the sensible thing might be 2 years. But 2 years, if I'm Barry Trotz, is going to lower the per year because I'm guaranteeing you 2 years and not one. Because I do think Evangelista could go, his career could go south, but his career also could go north. I think the Predators would be smart to go 2 years, but I think if you can get him for under 2.5, I think that would be the compromise for me, because he's going to have a huge opportunity. They need for players like Luke Evangelista to seize jobs a la Craig Smith, right? Any good team has to have some homegrown guys that are giving you production. And Evangelista can be a 40 to 50 point consistent scorer, I think, year in and year out, if he's right.
One texter says, Evangelista is not the answer. Sign him great. Sign him cheap? Great. Lose him to another team? Great. Just do not continue to overpay for underperforming players. Now, this is different than signing Steven Stamkos or Jonathan Marchessault or someone like that. Luke Evangelista is a younger player. The contract is going to be short-term. It's
right.
Going to be a prove-it type of deal. We'll give you a raise. We'll give it to you over 2 years. You show us that you're worth more. You show us that you are worth a long-term investment. So,
and he still will be restricted at the end of a 2-year deal.
He should be, yes. So I don't see it in the same way the texter does. Like, I don't think, even if you overpay Luke Evangelista, it's a drop in the bucket compared to what you're paying some of your other players. So again, the projection is around the $2.5 million cap hit. April in Portland says, I wouldn't pay him over $2 million per year.
I think most Predator fans would probably fall closer to that based on the recency bias of his struggles last year.
But again, it depends on what kind of player you think Luke Evangelista can be. As I've said, I think his ceiling in the NHL, again, a different player, but in terms of production, I think his ceiling is Craig Smith. Craig Smith was a productive member of this team for a long time. Since he left the Predators, he's bounced around quite a bit. It's actually quite impressive. He went to Boston, then he was traded to Washington, then he was in Dallas for a season. Last season, he started in Chicago and was then traded to Detroit. So Craig Smith, still going strong, I guess, at age 35. He'll be 36 in September.
But since the Predators have let him go to free agency,
he hasn't been the same player.
Right. I think they did they made the move at the right time. But when they signed him to the second contract, I don't know if there was a third contract in there, but they got exactly what they were hoping to get.
It wasn't because he went to free agency.
Right.
So they signed him to, I believe, a five-year contract out of arbitration.
Okay.
He played out that contract.
So after his entry level?
Yes.
It was a five-year deal?
Maybe a small
one in between?
I'll have to take a look. But Craig Smith, to me,
I do feel like there was arbitration in there.
There was. So he played on a two-year deal with a $2 million cap hit from 2013 to 2015. Then had a five-year contract with a $4.25 million cap hit.
Right. So that was a really good run. David Poile finding him in the second round and getting the production he got for that number was really, really solid. Now, remember, $2 million a year back then, $2 million a year now, not comparable. But you see what I'm saying. It's a second-level contract. You're not breaking your bank signing him. And even if they pay a little bit more for Evangelista, in today's rising salary cap where you're still trying to recalibrate what everybody's going to make, they have plenty of room to give him a few extra bucks. That's why I think it's going to be a unique situation. Because last summer, with a lot of these guys, it was like, hey, look, this is all we got left. We just signed these three big free agents, and we don't have much money left under the salary cap. You got to take what we're offering. And the player had to sort of take it or leave it. Now, you can't really use that because they've got enough cap space to give him an extra $500,000 or an extra $2 million over 2 years, right, if they wanted to.
But my point about Craig Smith is, over a six-year period between 2013 and 2019, he scored 24 goals, 23 goals, 21 goals. He had a down year. 1 year, he had 12 goals. But then he bounced back to 25 goals and then 21 goals. So 5 out of 6 years, in his mid to late 20s, he scored 20 goals every season. And or 5 out of 6 seasons in that case. If Luke Evangelista can become what Craig Smith was, again, different player. I'm just looking at the production. If Luke Evangelista becomes a whatever happens during the course of the season, by the end of it, if he stays healthy, he's going to end up with 20 goals. That is valuable. Again, he's not the game-changing winger that Predators fans desperately want and crave, but there is value in having a second or third line winger who you can count on to score at least 20 goals. And that's what I think Evangelista's
I don't think he is an at least 20 goals, but I do think he is a 15 to 20 goal and more assists than Craig Smith, which is, at the end of the day, it's about the same point production. But here's the key. It's at that price tag, right? You're not overpaying for those numbers. And if anything, because you control the player who's younger, you underpay, which gives you more cap space to go get the guys in free agency or in trade that you can pay big. Or you can afford the big-name players that you want to sign long-term. Your Roman Josis, presumably the next wave of guys that you have. You got to hope that you have those guys. But those players are valuable. The Evangelistas, the Craig Smiths, the guys through the years. Victor Arvidsson was one of these guys for a long time, right? Who they got locked up at a younger age, and he overproduced based on what they were paying him for a while, right? I'm looking at some other guys that David Poile had success with. Cali Yarncroke would be another one, right? You need guys like this who don't break the bank, who give you steady production over a good while. True?
Yes. I'm looking back at Cali Yarncroke's game log. He was a consistent 30-point player. 30 points, 31 points, 35 points, 26 points, 34 points.
Right, and he was valuable in that he could play center, could play wing.
He played on every line, every position on every line.
And
Evangelista is not going to do that.
Yes. He's not that guy. But I think in a general sense, your second wave guys who don't cost you a lot but help you win, you need those guys. And with the prospect pool they have, quite honestly, I think there's going to be more of those guys than your high-end studs. But if you have several low-cost, steady players, then you have the resources to go get the big guns, right, when they become available.
So let's end this here. What would be the contract you would be most comfortable giving Luke Evangelista right now?
The most?
The most that you would be comfortable giving him right now.
I think the most would be right at $3 million.
Per season or overall? Like two years, $3 million?
You said the most. 2 years times three would be the highest I would go.
So a $3 million cap hit over two seasons.
Two times three. I don't think they would go that high.
No. I'm going to go with what AFP Analytics says. I think 2.5. I think 2.5 is my ceiling.
And I think the sweet spot to me, because remember, 1.9, if my math is correct, or the 1.9 would be a 250% raise on what he's made, right? But you got to give him credit for what he's done the last 2 years. He's been a good player, as disappointing as last year was. And his career could go different ways. I think the sweet spot would be about 2.2. Still a really substantial raise, but also if he does hit another level, then he's a really good buy for 2.2. Times 2.2.
One texter says $1.5 million per year for 2 years. Again, I think that would be reasonable as well.
It would be reasonable, but he's
I'm not his sure he's comps going to take
with
that.
With the way the salary cap is going up, I think we're going to have to. I think Barry Trotz is going to have to look and say some inflation here is going to equal more dollars. I think 1.5 would have been dead on in the old cap that wasn't going anywhere. Remember, we got used to looking at a cap that wasn't rising.
Right.
Now it's gone up, and it's going to keep going up.
Yes. So we will keep you posted on Luke Evangelista again. Don't worry, Predators fans, especially those of you who have Tiger Beat posters of Luke Evangelista on your wall. Do they still make Tiger Beat magazines?
I don't know. Do they have magazines?
They do have magazines.
It's not that many.
They still have magazines. So that is true. But don't worry, Predators fans. I think
Does Luke's fan base read magazines?
No. They're all on TikTok.
Yeah.
They don't read magazines. I still love a good magazine. 615-737-1025. I'm looking forward to this conversation. Coming up next, our old friend Elijah Campbell, who used to work here at 1025 The Game, a former producer of Willie Donick's here at 102.5 The Game. He is now the co-host of The Early Game on 107.5 The Game in Columbia, South Carolina. He is live at SEC Media Days. Elijah will join us coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.